This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, July 25th, 2021. The Eighth Sunday After Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
They shall eat and have some left.
Words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. This is one of those weeks when I can do something that is good for me occasionally. And that is go on the coattails of last week's homily. Last week, I emphasized that during the turmoils in which we find ourselves in the church, that we need to keep our eyes and focus and orientation upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That can sound so churchy, so transcendent, so abstract. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Our Lord has made provision for us to do this. It's called the Eucharist. This is why we have what we have in the sacrament of the altar, this holy sacrifice where we represent the sacrifice of Calvary at our altars and consequently receive divinity. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ in the sacrament of the altar. This is what he has always desired for his people. This connection with him that is that intimate. It is unmistakable that throughout scriptures, this was the foundation of our faith, that one faith. There is one faith, said in the second reading today. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Negates all this talk about other faith groups. There is no other faith. There's one true faith. And that is the faith of the Catholic Church that is a Eucharistic faith. This is how the stage has always been set. The first reading today, 2 Kings, Old Testament, way deep in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 4, and you compare it to the gospel of the Eucharist, which is John chapter 6, which was our gospel this morning. You look at the parallels. Usually when we say parallels, well, those are pretty close. There are some things that are, you know, almost exactly the same. There are some things that are exactly the same that show that our Lord Jesus Christ wants us to understand what he's talking about. For instance, the one who brings to the prophet some barley loaves and some corn. And what do we have the lad have in John chapter 6? We have a lad here who's had a couple fish and some barley loaves. They have the same exact thing. We have these parallels, again, some very exact, even more than parallels, that teach us that this is what the Lord wants for us. Because when you look at the motif in both of them, you see the same pattern. You see compassionate provision of God for his people. And you see people who are around who don't get it because they're looking at things through the world's eyes. And they object or make remarks about it. And then you have God speak. And then you have a miracle. The parallels between the two, 2 Kings, John 6. 2 Kings. The prophet tells the one who brought the food, give to the people that they may eat. John chapter 6. Jesus looks up, sees all of them. When shall we buy bread that these may eat? Both of them looking with compassion on those who hunger before them. And again, then you get the stiff arm. 2 Kings. How much is this that I shall set it before 100 men? He brought them some barley loaves. We're not talking loaves like French bread. We're talking about dinner rolls. Okay, this guy's got a sling bag on him. He's got some ears of corn and some little barley loaves. You know, and you got 100 people there. What is this that I can set it before 100 men? They're not only going to be hungry, they're hungry and they're going to be cranky and they're going to beat me up, okay, for trying to give them, you know, say, here, eat this. Our Lord, he gets stiff-armed. His apostles, again, stiff-armed in a matter of, I don't get it. You got a lad here with two bars, but what is that for so many? 5,000. Yeah, the guy in the Second Kings, he's all bent out of shape because there's 100. Jesus is dealing with 5,000. And then there's the oracle of God. Yeah. I'm not getting this. How could this be possible? The prophet, thus saith the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be left. Our Lord, make them to sit down. And then the miracle. In Second Kings, so he said it before them, and they ate, and there was left. Jesus, he took the loaves, he blessed them, and distributed them to, and 5,000 people ate from a couple barley loaves and a couple fish, and they had leftovers, like to the tune of 12 baskets worth of leftovers. This is the motif. And this applies to our life. And this is where we should go with this. And this is where we should anchor the solace that I was talking about last week. We need to keep focused on the Eucharist. Because when we keep focused on the Eucharist and we act like it is what it is, then we are embracing the compassionate provision of our Lord for his church, no matter what's going on. We might not get it. We might understand why things are what they are. You know, at the end of the day, it's really not our business nor concern, because it's distracting and it's bad for our spirits. We need to keep focused on Jesus Christ. And if that sounds too ethereal for you, when you come to Mass, that's the Eucharist. It is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because at the institution of the sacrament of the altar, we see that pattern that I was just talking about, compassion, provision, objection, the oracle of God, and then the miracle. We see the same thing. The compassion of provision. My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. My flesh is really there for you to eat. My blood is really there for you to drink. He's explicit throughout John chapter 6 about this reality. So there's the compassion and provision of his body and blood for us. And then there's the objection to that. In Jesus' case, in John chapter 6, it's the Pharisees. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? An objection. We see that in our own day. Why do we see that 70% of people who enter into any given Catholic parish don't believe that the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ exists under the forms of bread and wine? The same thing. How can this be? It's spiritual, it's symbolic. I just don't believe it. Grandma and Grandpa were Catholics, and that's what I hang out on Sunday morning. Whatever it might be, it is a negation of what our Lord Jesus Christ is providing for us. How can this be? Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks. This is my body, which will be given up for you. This is the chalice of my blood, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. The oracle of God, thus saith the Lord. And then we have the Eucharistic miracle. Every time we come to Mass, we see this miracle. You know, it is really a simple proposition. It's not like you got to memorize volumes of theology to understand what our Lord institutes for us is just this simple. That the risen Lord Jesus Christ is objectively present in the Blessed Sacrament, and he gives himself to us to eat. It is unmistakable from Scripture. It is unmistakable from the traditions of our church. It is unmistakable from the primordial presentation of the magisterium of the church. This reality of Jesus Christ's presence in the Eucharist. John chapter 6. Around here more than a couple months, you always hear me. I wish I had a dollar for every hour of my life I've spent listening to Protestant sermons why John 6 doesn't say what it says. These are your scripture alone folks. And they go out of their way to negate what scripture says. This is my body. My flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. Assuredly, make no mistakes. That's why so many disciples leave. And Jesus doesn't say, hey, where are you guys going? I'm speaking metaphorically, throwing you in an allegory. And no, our Lord Jesus Christ, look at his apostles, are the only ones left. Again, are you going to leave too? Peter, my words, at this thought, we don't get it. But where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life are the Eucharist. It's kind of interesting to see, you know, these parallels between 2 Kings chapter 4 and John chapter 6. You've got these parallels in the Eucharist. You would think that the second reading would be like 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where St. Paul speaks about the Eucharist specifically. What's the second reading? Ephesians chapter 4. What does it say? Be careful to keep the unity of the Spirit. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one faith. The faith that is grounded and founded on the Eucharist. Old Testament to New Testament. Our religion is about the Eucharist. This is why it is referred to as the source, center, and summit of our faith. This is the place of solace. This is the place where we place our anchor when things are in turmoil around us. It's the Eucharist. When we look at the Eucharist, I'm going to step back and I'm going to go here. The upheaval that we see right now in the church, out of all the articles you can read about it, and this guy says this, and this guy says this, and this argument about this, and this argument about that, it is about the Eucharist. I haven't heard anything about the Eucharist. It's about the Eucharist. It's about the Eucharist because the Roman Catechism teaches us that when we appreciate that our daily bread that we ask for in the Lord's Prayer, which is, of course, temporal, but also spiritual, is most forcefully presented to us in the Eucharist. This daily bread that God provides us, if you can swing it daily, you know, most people can't, but he provides it for you daily if you can. This is the true bread, because this is the bread that truly, tangibly, objectively contains our Lord Jesus Christ. And what makes it different than every other sacrament? Every other sacrament, we receive the graces of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the Eucharist, we receive myriad graces, but we receive Jesus Christ himself. This is why this is such a solace. Because it doesn't matter what's going around us. But we have to approach this sacrament, this compassionate provision of our Lord, as if we really believe it. This is why the upheaval in the church right now. This is why I say it's about the Eucharist. Because this is a tension understatement between different views of what goes on in here. The Catechism tells us, the Roman Catechism says, that our daily bread is what it is because it is the food of the faithful only, who receive and adore this divine sacrament with all possible holiness and veneration. That last part, who receive and adore the divine sacrament with all possible holiness and veneration. We can put those two words into one and say reverence. As you may well imagine, I deal with, and I mean this literally, hundreds of people who have advanced their faith by starting to appreciate the traditional liturgy, the traditional presentation of the Eucharist. And this is not a matter of they're evil, they do this, they're not where I'm going, but this is the source of tension right now. Because once, if you believe everything that I've just said about the body, blood, soul, and divinity, and receiving God Almighty Himself into your very being, we have to do everything we possibly can to act like that, to present that, to live that. With all, receive and adore this divine sacrament with all possible holiness and veneration. We try to do it in all possibility to present what this teaching is. Teaching of the church that has never been debated until recently, never been debated about the real presence of our Lord and how you act if you're in His presence. This is why you walk into this place or any other traditional parish, and it's quiet. Nobody's talking to one another. Why? Because we're stodgy and don't want to talk to other people? No. Go over to the parish hall after Mass, hug all on one another, talk to your blue in the face. That's not for here. You come into this place. You're in the presence of God Almighty Himself. You'll walk in your boss's office and say, hey, boss called you to go to a meeting, three or four people. And the boss is sitting there getting ready for the meeting. You're jaw-jacking with one another. You're respectful, you know. If he starts conversation, you start. But you didn't go in there and act like any, like you're in a club. But we're doing it here. A lot of people do. It starts like that. It's quiet. But then when we receive, if we are properly disposed, and we come up to this altar rail, and we kneel down. We don't kneel anywhere. What is kneeling? It is the outward physical posture that should demonstrate our inward spiritual disposition. I'm not worthy to receive God Almighty Himself into my being. No one's worthy to do that. But if I am so predisposed, He offers Himself to me. I will take that offer from God, that I will do it with the utmost respect. I get down on my knees. I receive on my tongue because my hands are not consecrated to touch God as the priest's hands are consecrated to touch God. Their hands are consecrated, but traditionally only these two fingers have always been referred to as the canonical digits. Those are the only two fingers with which you touch the Blessed Sacrament. And after the consecration, they are not disjoined until you wash after everything's over. Just by chance, there may be a particle of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if it's that small, what's the big deal? Every single particle of the Blessed Sacrament contains Jesus Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity in totality. That's just a little piece of Jesus. And no, this little crumb is as much Jesus as that host that is elevated for our adoration. This is why we don't receive in the hand in the traditional form. Because why? Because the catechism teaches, or church teaches us, that he should be received and adored with all possible holiness and veneration. All possible. I just want you to play in your memory a little rollback. Some of the places you've seen in the past, from whence you came, how the Eucharist is received. It is adored with all possible holiness and veneration. I would actually submit to you a lot of what I see, there is no holiness or veneration. Think about it. Oh, he's bashing that. I'm just pointing out objective reality. How do you receive? Well, I walk up, I receive something in my hands, and I eat it. That happens at McDonald's. It's not a matter of that's evil to receive like that. It's mundane. It's ordinary. It's McDonald's. It's not God Almighty Himself. It shouldn't be the same. Can we exhibit the holiness and veneration it deserves? No, we can't. But we try all possible to venerate the Blessed Sacrament. This doesn't have anything, you know, the big debate. The Latin Mass and the New Mass. Kind of interesting. It doesn't really have anything to do with the language of the Mass. Look at ours. Our Mass is the newest Mass that the Catholic Church has. It's like 4 or 5 years old. 4 or 5 years old. And it's pretty reverent in the grand scheme of things. I'm a traditional Latin Mass guy. It's a highlight of my week. I celebrate the traditional Latin Mass. Then at the end of the day, I look at the I have no heartburn over this one. Yeah, can I have some academic debates about this, that, or the other thing, and everything? You know, my feathers get ruffled a little bit. But it's a reverent Mass. So it doesn't have anything to do with the traditional Latin Mass, the Novus Ordo, whatever they call it out, the Mass of Paul VI. Okay, you know, changes, you know. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with the way we approach our Lord Jesus Christ. What's really kind of interesting to me in this whole discussion of the Mass thing, Pope Francis this, Pope Francis that, Pope Francis signed this missal. This is Pope Francis' Mass. Go figure. It's reverence. You know, generally I speak, when I can talk about any subject, about the people I talk to and deal with in here, and I can never go, it's always about this. So I say, well, the majority of times about this, or sometimes about this, sometimes about that. This is one place, this is a subject in which I can speak, and I deal with hundreds of people who have moved from other places to here. Every single time, there is one word that is used that drew them here or kept them here, because some people visit by accident. COVID. We're 70% down. We're 50% down. We've increased almost 250% since COVID. A lot of people showed up here because we were the only game in town for a little while. They were like, what? And then they started like, man, I like that. Why? One word. Reverence. It always comes up. Reverence. That's what this is about. Because the Holy Spirit moves us. It's not a matter of an intellectual determination. I think I'm going to go somewhere where there's more reverence. The Holy Spirit brings people certain places, and then when they see certain things, He moves in them. And where the Lord Jesus Christ is, with all possible holiness, veneration, received and adored, He will keep you there. He will open your eyes to that. Because this is where the tension lies right now, because there's been some direct statements and very explicit, no, they need to come back to this. That whole question is a soul-searching thing for each and every one of us. But the vast majority of people who see our Lord Jesus Christ received and adored in all holiness and veneration, to use bad grammar, they ain't going back to the old days. Now, I can't do this for a while and then go back to that. Again, it doesn't have anything to do with orders of Mass, as far as ritual goes. There are some Novus Ordo parishes, to use old terms, that have altar rails and they receive kneeling and things like that. Praise God. There are a whole lot of places that do that, you know. All of a sudden, the new father came in. We don't use the altar rail anymore. He doesn't like it. It's not him who's being received by everybody. It's our Lord Jesus Christ. This is reality of things. This is about veneration of the Eucharist. That's all there is to it. And the Eucharist is what is going to be our anchor point while all this is going on. Okay? We just need to do what's right. What our church teaches us and what we understand about receiving our Lord. Because this is what happens for us when we receive the Eucharist, and we receive it with all possible adoration, holiness, veneration, is the words of the prophet, "They shall eat and there shall be left." We receive the Eucharist within ourselves under the sacramental forms. They are reduced by our bodies. You receive that sacrament in your mouth, and it just becomes part of you. The graces you receive do not. This is what is left from the Eucharist. Because when you receive our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, you're receiving divinity. Divinity is eternal and it's infinite. So the graces that you're receiving in the Eucharist, although the forms are reduced, the graces are infinite and they are eternal as long as you cooperate with them. This is what's going on right now. And the Eucharist is where we need to anchor our attention. In the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.